Today's shir is Masechta Ervin, Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin on the Beis. The last line of the Amid. Umi Amar Bayi Dagim Gedulei Karkin Anu. Yesterday, we discussed what food items may be purchased with money, Maisa Sheni funds, as we explained in our previous shir. The halacha is that in the first and the second and in the fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we need to take off Maisa Sheni. And the halach is, if one does not want to need to carry all of that Maisa Sheni produce to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim, the halacha tells us that he could redeem it. If the owner redeems it, he has to add a fifth and take that money and use that money in Yerushalayim to buy food items. And we had a discussion yesterday's shiur, and we continue in today's shiur, what food items can be purchased with the Maisa Sheni funds and what may not be. And the Gemara had a machlokes, what will be the halacha if you could buy fish from those Maisa Sheni funds? One mandam, according to the mandam that says, we learn primi priva geduli karka. So Gemara said, dogim geduli karka ninhu. Fish are considered that they grow from the sea because they eat from the ground, because they eat from the earth of the sea. But according to mandam that says that what makes up food items that may be purchased with Maisa Sheni funds is vlad ha'aretz. Dogim were not created from the aretz. They were not created from the earth. They were created from the water, and therefore they could not be used to purchase with Maisa Sheni money. Ask the Gemara, Omiyam Abaya, did Abaya suggest that dogim gedulei karkeninu, that dogim are considered something that grows from the ground, and therefore the halacha will be you could use Maisa Sheni funds, perhaps, to buy fish with? Ask the Gemara, Va'itmar, have we not learned? Ha'oichel petisa. If somebody eats a petisa is a small sheretz, a small creature that grows in the yam, in the water, and even though it's less than a kazayis, and normally the halacha is that you have to eat a kazayis of a food in order to be chayiv for eating macholos asuris. When it comes to eating insects, worms, you don't need to eat a kazayis. Even if you ate a small worm by itself, you're chayiv. And the reason you're chayiv is because they are considered a barrier. They're considered a full living creature. And a barrier, you're chayiv, even if they don't have a sheer kazayis. And we learned that somebody eats a petisa, eats such a small creature that swims in the yam, loika arba, he gets four malchus. There are four separate lavim that he was over, and since he's over four separate lavim, he cadets for each lav a separate malchus. And what are the four lavim? One is he has violated the general lav of eating shrotzim, which comes with two lavim. The Torah says, "Al tishaksu es nafshei seichem b'chol asheretz hasheretz v'lo sotamu b'hem." So whenever you eat a sheretz, you're over those two lavim. And besides that, when we speak about something that grows and comes from the yam, there are two more lavim. One is the pasuk that says, "V'chol asheein lo snapi v'kaskeses." And the other pasuk is, so you have a total of four lavim. If you eat a namala, an ant, something that creeps on the ground, so you have you're over five lavim. The five lavim are the two general lavim that we identified that you're over forever whenever you eat a sheretz. And then the other three lavim, one is the kol hasheretz hasheretz al aretz sheketzu lo yoichel. The other is kol ha'olach al gochen, kol ha'olach al arba, ad kol mabar aglaim kol sheretz ha'sheretz al oretz lo soichlum. And then third one is lo satamas nafshesechem kol sheretz haroimes al oretz. So there's a total of five lavim for eating something that grows on the ground. Tzira, if you eat something that flies, you like a shalish, you get six malchus. The two that you get for everything, for every sheretz that you consume, the three more for that we just identified when you eat something that creeps on the ground, because these flying insects, like a hornet, for example, the tzira is a hornet, creeps on the ground and flies, does both. And there's one more lav for eating something that grows, that flies, and that's v'chal sheretz oif tamehu lachem lo yachelu. Ask the Gemara, vim isa, and if you're going to say that fish are considered something that nourishes from the ground, because they eat what grows from the ground of the sea, so then potisa, if you eat such a creature that swims in the yam, nami lilk mishim sheretz asheretz oretz. Why are we limiting, as we started on top of the omid, that if you ate potisa, you only get four? The lavim that apply to something that creeps on the ground should apply to it as well. And therefore, you would have altogether seven lavim if you ate two petisa. Two the general lav, two for the sheretz hayam, and then the three for the sheretz hasheretz haoretz would be a total of seven. And because of this question, the Gemara moves away from this saying that a dag should be considered something that grows from the ground. And everybody therefore will agree that you cannot use Maisa Sheni funds to buy fish. El Am Ravina, what will be the machlokes? Oifas Ikabanayu. The machlokes will be if you could buy birds with Maisa money. That will be the machlokes. Lamanda Amr, according to the Lamanda Amr that says that what's required to be considered a food that you can use Maisa Sheni funds, pre-mipri, V'duli karka, something that comes from something else and is nourished from the ground, hani nami g'duli karka ninu, they would fall into that category. However, l'man da'ama v'lad ha'aretz, it has to be something that was created from the earth. Hani oifis, says the Gemara, earth birds were not created from the ground, they were created menarekak, they were created from mud. And since they were created from mud, they're not considered gedulei karka, and therefore you would not be able to buy birds with Maisa Sheni funds. So the Miri points out that even though we're saying that oifis are gedulei karka, we can't call them real gedulei karka. When we say that the gedulei karka, we mean that they nourish from the ground. Why? Because says the Miri, otherwise we would have a problem with the bracha. We know the bracha on these animals and animals on meat is a shakal nivadvare. But if it's considered gedulei karka, the bracha should be bari pri adama. So therefore, it's not, even though we're calling it gedulei karka, it's not something that actually grows from the ground, and therefore the bracha should be bari Shakal Nebetvore, not by Pri Adama. Our Gemara is the source for what we know is the halacha, how strict we have to be in being careful not to ingest any worms, because as our Gemara says, you could come to be over many, many lavim for every insect that you consume. And the question is, so therefore, for example, people who use romaine lettuce for maror on Pesach by the Seder have to be very careful that the maror, romaine lettuce, which is typically quite infested, should be checked properly to make sure that there is no infestation in that maror. So I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses a shaila: what happened if somebody ate maror for the Seder and he didn't check? Was he mekayim the mitzvah? Is it considered that he was over a mitzvah baba avera? The issa deraisa of eating a vegetable that is infested maybe should prevent them from being mekayim the mitzvah maror. So he says a chiddush, that there are two separate isurim. There's an isur to eat taloim, and there's a mitzvah to eat maror. And therefore, since these two, the mitzvah and avera, are not connected to each other, and therefore you maybe were yoytz the mitzvah. But then he suggests that maybe not. If they weren't able to fulfill the mitzvah only through doing the avera of eating insects, maybe that's not considered that you did a mitzvah. And therefore, he is not quite sure if you yoytz the mitzvah, if you deliberately did not. Of course, if somebody checked the maror and he found that the maror was, and the way he checked and it was fine, then of course he was mekayim the mitzvah. But or if he didn't know that this vegetable could be infested, he was also probably mekayim the mitzvah. But in a situation where you don't know, you probably are not mekayim the mitzvah if you did not check what you should have checked. So we just had a machloikis if you could be mekayim, if you could buy with Maisa Sheni funds birds. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the basis for that machloikus? And in order to properly explain that machloikus, we need to go back to a braisa that many of us say every morning. In the braisa that we say in the morning, there we learn the different ways of the Shlosh Esrei Midras, Esrei Midras Shatar and the Dreshes Behem. And there's something called a klal prat, and there's something called a prat to klal. And a klal prat means that first the Torah says a general rule, and then the Torah goes into details, and the halacha is ein b'chlal elamasha b'prat. The prat severely limits the klal. A prat to klal, the halacha is nasa klal moisav el prat. Since the general rule follows the detail, so we say that the general rule comes to add and includes much more than just the prat. And then we have a klal uprat uklal that is not as limited as a klal uprat. It's not as general as a prat uklal. There we say, ein iyat adon el ka'en uprat. Now we're going to have a machloikus. When we have a klal uprat uklal, how do we look at it? Which klal is considered the more significant klal? Do we consider the first klal the more significant klal? And if we consider the first klal the more significant klal, then the prat which follows it has the ability to severely limit it? Or do we consider the second klal the more significant klal? And if the second klal is the more significant klal, then it has the ability to significantly expand. And says the Gemara, that is exactly the basis of the machlokes. Man de Marbi asked the Marmai Tama, the opinion that holds that you can use Maisa Sheni funds for to buy birds, what's his reasoning? Or man de Mamat, Oifas, and the one that says that you can't buy birds with those funds, Mai Tame. Says the Gemara, man de Marbi Oifas, the man that says you can't buy birds with it, Kasavar, says the Pasuk says, Nasata Hakesa B'chol HaShatav Nafshcha, which is a klal. Then the Pasuk says, Baboka b'tsoin b'yayin b'sheicher is a prat. And then the Pasuk says another klal, B'chol HaShatasholcha Nafshcha. So he says, klal basra dafka. The second klal is the more significant klal, and not the first klal. And therefore, it's similar to a pratu klal. And as we said a moment ago, whenever you have a pratu klal, nasa klal, moisav a prat, the klal comes to add the srabala kamila. What is the klal kama kama? When you have the first klal of prat, which cannot be ignored, and therefore it should be considered emeklal shema b'prat, to teach us lamute kol deloy damile mishnei tzadim. It has to be at least similar in two ways. So therefore, fish that aren't similar to these that are only similar to them in one way, that they reproduce, but they're not gedulei karka, we can't include them. But birds that are similar in two ways, because they reproduce and they also are gedulei karka, they can be included. But the mandamah that holds that we don't include birds in the foods that we could buy with Maisa Sheni, he is of the opinion, Ksover, Klal Kamadavka, that we look at it as a klal, as the Klal Kamam, meaning that it's primarily treated as a Klal Uprat. Vein Bechlal, and we know that the rule of a Klal Uprat is, Vein Bechlal El Bishma Befrat, and we severely limit it. And therefore, since we severely limit it, we will say Hani in only what's mentioned in the Torah explicitly, midachrin aloi. But then, says the Gemara, Ahani klal abasra. There is the klal that came at the end. The pasuk, obachol asher tashalcha nafshcha. What does that come to do? Vahani klal abasra, the last klal comes to do, the rabbi called the domelei, that if it's at least similar, mishloishet stodim, if it has three common denominators, then we can include it as a food that you could buy with Maisa Sheni. And therefore, if it reproduces, and it's gedulei karka, and it's vladus haaretz, which would be like an animal that were created from the ground, they could be included in something that you could buy from with Maisa Sheni funds. Birds, which don't have these three common denominators, cannot be included. So Tosfos says in Divrei HaMaskil Ahani, that the factor to take into consideration is not if it's similar in two ways, or not if it's similar in three ways. It's not the number of similarities that we look at. But rather, explains Tosfos, the difference is how, as if it's similar, the one that learns, the first mandama says, if it has the main characteristics are similar, that is adequate. And the second opinion holds that even not just in the main characteristics must be similar to the prat, but it has to be similar in all the details as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmei Rav Shmuel Bashels Mishmei Rav Ma'arvin Ba'fuin Ba'chalgolos U'begadgondius. We could use papuin, which is a type of a herb. Chalgalgalois is a type of a herb as well. Ubegudgonius, a coriander. Avloi bechazis, avloi bekafnius. We may not use green grain or dates that have not yet matured wet. Ask the Gemara, ubegudgonius minyarvin, can we use coriander for an erev? Vatanya gudgonius, when it comes to coriander, merube bonim yoichlu, somebody who has Baruch Hashem many children may eat them. Cheshuke bonim, somebody who doesn't have any children, lo yoichelu, they shouldn't eat them because they cause that the semen shouldn't be able to produce and the person won't be able to have children. Vimhikshu lazera, and if they became already very tough, if the stalks became hard, that they used, they were ripened and they used for stalks. Af merube bonim lo yoichlu. Even if somebody Baruch Hashem has children, they shouldn't eat them because they're not healthy for the body. Of course, the Mefarshim explain that even if a person already had children, he's still supposed to have children. So how do we understand this Gemara? So the way the Mefarshim explain the Gemara, if this food, the Sharm Shem Baloch explains this way, if this food would cause that somebody should not be able to have children at all, then nobody would be allowed to eat the food, whether you already had children or whether you didn't already have children. Rather, he explains the way to understand this Gemara is that this food is not great. It affects the production of semen, but not to the degree that it makes that you shouldn't be able to have children. So somebody who was already Mekayim, the Mitzvah Per Rivia, in order to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Per Rivia, you have to have a boy and a girl. So therefore, we can allow you to eat this food. However, somebody who was not yet Mekayim, the Mitzvah Per Rivia, and for such an individual, we have to be extremely sensitive and concerned that he should be able to do whatever it takes to have children, he should avoid these foods. But what do we see? That you can't eat this food. So how can we use it for an Erev? Isn't the whole point, as we've been learning, of putting down an Erev Tchumim, that person should be able to have, that where your food is considered where you're dwelling on Shabbos. But if this is inedible food, that can't be considered the place where you're dwelling for Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Tergema, we're going to explain that when he said you could use it, it's talking about Shloihuk Shlazera. It didn't get hard, so it's still edible. And the person who's putting it down is Baruch Shem Merubei Banim. He already has children. He was already Mekayim the Mitzvah Per Rivia. Him we could allow to use these foods. V'bayi Seyma Lo'olam L'chashuki Banim. Even somebody who did not have children could use this coriander for an Erev. To'achazul Merubei Banim. Since somebody who, Baruch Hashem, already had children can eat it, Miloy Tanan, just like we learned in the Mishnah, Ma'arvin L'Nazar B'Yayin, we could use wine for an Erev for a Nazar, even though the Nazar can't drink wine. Or we learned in the Mishnah, Yisrael B'Truma, we could use Truma for the Erev for Yisrael, even though Yisrael cannot eat Truma. Alma, what's the reason? Even though one specific individual can't eat it, it could be eaten by another individual. Hachinami, the same thing here. Even if it's not edible to somebody who doesn't have children, it's edible to somebody who Baruch Hashem already had children, and as long as it's a food that it's edible to someone, it's considered a food that anybody could use for Ruvit Chumim. Another time, the rabbi was speaking about the stalks didn't harden. He meant median coriander that comes from Medoy, which is a type of coriander which is harmless that everybody could eat. So we learned before, b'chazes, green gain may not be used for an Erev. Ask the Gemara, b'chazes loy, we may not use green grain for an Erev. V'am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Ksus, haps, v'chazes, and green grain, ma'arvim behem, may be used for an Erev, or mevarchim on Bar Pri Adama, the bracha for them is Bar Pri Adama. So how could you say that they can't be used? Answers the Gemara, ha loikasha, ha da'akamid osu Rav l'bavel. Before Rav came to Bavel, he considered green grain inedible. And since he considered it inedible, it could not be used for an Erev. But after Rav came to Bavel, and he saw that in Bavel they ate the green grain, therefore he said it may be used. Ask the Gemara, just because in Bavel they eat the chazes, u Bavel have a ruba da alma, is Bavel considered most of the world? And just because they eat it there, does that make it into a food that everybody could use for an Erev? But Tanya, have we not learned hapul, beans, vesoira, barley, vatils and fungigreek, shesar and liyarek, that were planted as vegetables, that the intent of the person who planted them was to use the unripened plant as greens rather than the ripened seed, bottled dietalates of kaladim. What he intended to do, since most people don't eat them that way, the halacha is we don't consider it a food. We still consider the seed to be considered the significant product of these plants. Alfikar zar and chayif, these seeds have a chiv that we should take maisa from them. Virokon, the vegetables are potter. Ashechlaim v'agargar, cress, and a type of herb called gargar, shazar and liyarek, which he planted as vegetables. Ma'asrin, liyarek v'zera, the unripened plants and the seeds we take off maisa. Zar and Lazara, if he planted them for the seed, Misasrin Zara Vyarak, because both are considered significant products. And the nafkamina is, as the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis teaches us, as we've been saying in our shiurim, every year has its different chiyuvim from which mice do you have to take. In the first and second and the fourth and fifth, you take mice sheni, and in the third and the sixth years, you take mice oni. And when it comes to vegetables, when it comes to seeds or to beans, the year for which you chayiv is the year that you took, that they took took root. When it comes to vegetables, it's the year that we collect the vegetables. So therefore, we need to know in what category it falls into. Is it a yerek? So then we'll go after the year that it was collected. If it's a zera, we go after the year it took root. But what do we see from the first part of the braisa? That the significance of a food is not established by a specific individual doing something different than everybody else. We look at what most people do. So therefore, ask the Gemara, just because Rav came to Bavel and he saw that they eat chazes in Bavel, that doesn't make it into an edible food just because in this one country they eat it. But we see from here a very interesting concept that we say, batla datel etza kol adam, that we go after the individual. And sometimes we don't go after the individual, we see what most of the world does. And sometimes we do follow what specific individuals do. So how do we determine what we should do? So Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil u'Bavel, establishes a very important rule. He says that if most people don't do something, so we say, batel datel etza kol adam. However, if the reason most people don't do it is because they're not given the circumstances, the opportunity to do it, but were they put into the same circumstance, they would do it, then we do say we go after that minhag. And he gives the example that we learned. We spoke about Arvia. Arvia was a place where koitzim, with thorns, were used to feed the donkeys. The question is, are thorns called a vegetable? And the Gemara says, yes, because they fed them to their camels. But they're not the most of the world. The answer is, because they had a lot of camels. What do we see from there? That if you have a place, if we all had a lot of camels, we would also use koitzim. We just don't have a lot of camels. Arvia people had a lot of camels. So again, so therefore Tosfos has an important rule. Where, if we were in the same circumstances, we would do what this minority does, that we follow, then the minig of that minority becomes significant. But where it's a situation that even if we were in their same circumstances, we still would not necessarily behave the way they behave, then we say, batel datel etza kol adam. So we go back to the Gemara's question. Why did Rav pay so much attention to what they did in Bavel? Answers the Gemara, Kika Marav be Guganaisa. Rav was speaking about the garden variety. Garden variety chazes was eaten all over the world, and since it's eaten all over the world, it's considered a food that you could use for an erev. Ask the Gemara, Zera Garga Lamai Chazi. We spoke about the Garga as being something that you can make an erev out of. Ask the Gemara, what do you do with the Garga? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shekem Rishonim Shloi Hoylem Pilpilin. In the earlier times, when they did not have pepper available to use as a spice, they used to grind it, and they would dip the roasted meat into it. And therefore, it's considered significant that you take off maiser, you could use it, you have to take off maiser from it. Says the Gemara, Rav Zeira ki have a cholish megirsa. When Rav Zeira was very, very weakened from his learning, he would go and sit at the entranceway of the Shiva of Ami. Omar, he said, Kinafki va'ayli rabbonon, when the Talmidei Chachamim come in and out, at least I'll be able to stand up from them, and I'll get schar. So, of course, all the Mepharshim ask when we learn the Hilbikayim Schar for the mitzvah of Bnei Sevetokim for Darta Bnei Zokim, for getting off a Tamid Chachamim. So, all the Mepharshim, of course, ask the question. We know, it says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tia Kavodim Hamsham Shem Sarav Hamnas L'Kabel Pras. We're not allowed to do mitzvahs just in order to get reward. So, how could he say that I'm going there in order to get reward? You're not supposed to do it for that purpose. So the B'nai Yisoschar explains. The pasuk that we just read says, "Bnei Sevetokim, v'darta b'nei zokin, v'yireisa melekecha." So explains the B'nai Yisoschar that the schar for giving their respect to Talmid Chachamim is Yira Shemayim. So if the schar is Yira Shemayim, that's the kind of schar that you're allowed to do a mitzvah for. If somebody does a mitzvah just for the purpose of getting some sort of worldly schar, that's something that you're not allowed to do schar for. You're not allowed to do. But if you're doing it for Yira Shemayim, that's permissible. And with that, we could understand, says the B'nai Yisoschar, the Mishnah, indeed, in Pirkei Avos. Because we look in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that teaches us this halacha, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, says the Mishnah, Al tiyu kavodim hamsham shem sarav amanas l'kav pras, al kav kavodim hamsham shem sarav shaloy amanas l'kav pras. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'yehei moir shemayim eleichem. So when we learn this Mishnah, asked the B'nai Yisoschar, it's a different Mishnah, it's a difficult Mishnah to understand. We're talking about doing mitzvahs for schar, not doing mitzvahs for schar. What does it have to do with Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah is teaching us, our Gemara explains, that even though we're teaching, the Mishnah is teaching us that one should not do a mitzvah in order to get reward. But if you're doing it to get schar, then you are allowed to do it. Another shot that I saw is Reb Zeira was thinking to himself, what's happening here? I got weak. Is that what happens when somebody learns Torah? Shouldn't my learning cause that I should have more interest in learning, not less interest in learning? And he started to examine, why is this happening? And he came to the conclusion, it's probably because he's not in the Madrega, in the proper Madrega of Ben Odom L'Chaveroi. It mitzvahs between one individual and next. So he said, I have to immediately correct that. How did he decide he will be immediately able to correct that? He ran to stand up for Talmid Chachamim. If he ran to stand up for Talmid Chachamim, then that will show that he is better, he's getting better in the mitzvahs Ben Odom L'Chaveroi, and he'll be zoichet that his learning will be better as well. Another pshat that the Mashah explains is that when is there a rule, and we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, that is that when is there a rule that you're not supposed to, hayoyim la'asoysam, or moch l'kabel schorim, we don't get schar in this world, that's when we do a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. But we do a mitzvah that we're not obligated to do, then you'll get schar b'hayai alma as well. Reb Zeira was sitting, says the Rasha, in yeshiva, and he got weakened. So he didn't have to go to the entranceway to stand up for other Talmid Chachamim. He could have just stayed where he is. He took the extra effort to walk to where there were Talmid Chachamim. Because he took that extra effort to walk where there were Talmid Chachamim, he was deserving of this extra schar. The Shar Mitzrayim Balocha says a different pshat. He explains that Reb Zeira saw that he was weak, that he wasn't able to learn, he got so weak. So he thought to himself, what can I do to strengthen my learning? And he decided that the best approach he could take to strengthen his learning is by speaking to other Talmid Chachamim in Divrei Torah. And by speaking to other Talmid Chachamim about Divrei Torah, that will strengthen his learning. So he got up from wherever he was sitting and learning, and he went to the yeshiva where there were many Talmid Chacham learning, and by joining them and learning with them, he figured and he expected that he will grow in his learning. So again, says the Gemara, Reb Zeir, ki have a cholish megirsei, Reb Zeir, if he got weakened from learning, have also v'yosva piskad Reb Yehuda ba'ami, he sat at the entranceway of the yeshiva Reb Ami, on the kenafki v'ayla rabbanan, when the Talmid Chacham come in and out, Ekim kamayu v'kabal ba'agra, I'll stand up and get schar. Nofik also yinuka de be'rav, and one of the Talmidim of the yeshiva walked out. Amalei, and Reb Zeir asked him, my agmarach rabach, what did you learn today? Amalei, so he said, ksus, the proper bracha for haps is bari pri adoma. Chazes, the proper bracha for green grain is shahakal nebedvari. Amalei, so Reb Zeir said to him, I think, adrabba, ifchem stabra, I think that the halacha should be just the opposite. Haima arik rabba, green grain comes from the ground, and therefore the bracha should be by a priya adama. V'hayma arva, mavira kamarbi, haps are nourished from the air. They don't grow from the earth. They grow on branches that grow from the earth. And if anything, they should be the bracha from which you should make a shahakal. However, says the Gemara, v'hilchasa ki yinukad be'rav. The halacha is actually like the yinukad be'rav said. My tama, what is the reason for that? Hai gemar pri, haps are completely ripened, completely matured. And when something is completely matured, that's when you make a bari pri adoma. Hai, whereas the green grain, lav gemar pri, that it's not completed because we still need to get the seeds out. And since we still need to get the seeds out, the proper bracha is a shahakal nebedvari. And as the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Dalet, Sif Koton Zion explains, we always, when something is not complete, we take it a step down. So if it was complete, it was completely ripened, then we will make a bari pri adoma. But because it's not to that point, we take it a step down and we make a shahakal. I, says the Gemara, my the Kamrit, that we just said a moment ago, Haima Arukaravi, that the grain grows from the ground, Vahaima Virukaravi, and the haps grow from the air, and that should be a reason that we shouldn't make a Bari Pri Adoma on haps, Lohi, that's incorrect, says the Gemara, because Ksus Nami Arukaravi, haps really grow also from the earth. Doha Kochazinon, what's the best proof? The Kalina Laz Masai, once we cut down the shrubs on which the haps grow, or Maisk Shusa, the haps stop growing. So we see that they're directly nourishing from the ground. We learned further, the Kufnius. Rav said earlier, the non-mature dapes may not be used for an Erev. Ask the Gemara, the Kufnius Eim Arvin, is that true that we can't make Erev with non-mature dates? Asked Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, kor, hearts of palm, nikach bekesa maisa. You could use maisa sheni funds to buy them. We know that foods can become tamei, and the halacha, however, says is, it has to be mikola oichel shi oichel. It has to be the status of food. So even though hearts of palm are edible, and therefore you could use my Sheni funds to buy them, it doesn't have the full status of food. Nobody, and as Tosfos, the very Maskil explains, because somebody who plants a palm tree doesn't plant it for the palm hearts. The palm hearts are the new layers of wood that grow every year, that at the beginning they're soft and edible. Because they will eventually harden and become wood, and therefore they're not considered food. They planted primarily for the palm, for the dates, and therefore it's not makaba tumas oichlim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer karahu keitzel chal dvarav. Kar is considered wood. El shenika bekasa ma'isa, you could use ma'isa sheni fun. We're going to see in the Gemara what's the machlokes between the Tanakh and Rabbi Yehuda. The kafnius namche dapes. Hareg Pril Chodvreim is considered like a fruit. El Pturus Menamaiser. There's no Chiv Meiser because they're not completely because they're not completely grown. So what do we see? Everybody agrees that kafnis are considered a food and have tumas eichlim. So why do Rav say that you can't use them? Answers the Gemara, hasa b'nischeni. There are two types of palm trees, apparently. There are male palm trees and female palm trees. Male palm trees, their fruits never completely mature. So when you have the unripe date, that's when it reached its final stage. And therefore, it's considered already a food. It's not going to become better. And therefore, it can be used as an eruv. Rav, when he said you can't use unripe dates for an eruv, was speaking about the female palm trees, which have regular dates. These which mature fully. And therefore, since they mature fully, if you eat them, if you use them before, you want to use them before they've matured fully, they're not considered a fruit, and therefore it's not considered something that you could use for an eruv. And Rashi goes on to explain that even though the female version is the much preferred version, the male version was grafted, the male version tree is grafted into the female version tree, and makes the dates better. Ihachi asked the Gemara, Bahalim Rav Yehuda Paturus Min HaMaisa, if we're talking about fruit which will never mature, what does Rav Yehuda say that they're not Chayv HaMaiser? If they're ready at the final stage that they're going to get to, they should be Chayv HaMaiser. V'tanya Rav Yehuda, Lo Husgru Pagi Besroni, non-maturing figs of Asuni were mentioned in the yeshiva, Elen Yemais Bavad, where it was said, Pagi Besroni, the non-maturing figs of Besroni, Vahina de Tuvna, and non-maturing dates of Tuvina, Chayav Memaisa, because that's, since they came to the full, as far as they're going to get, the Chayav Memaisa. So why, in the Braisa, does he say, if we're talking about this type of date, that they're part of Maisa? Says the Gemara, we have to go away from this halacha. We're not speaking about the male palm trees whose fruits never mature. We're talking about regular dates that come, as we said, typically from the female tree. But so why do we differentiate Tumas Eichlim? Why are they considered a fruit for Tumas Eichlim? Says the Gemara, Inyan Tumas Eichlim Shani. When we speak about Tumas Eichlim, the rules are different. K'ra'am Rabbi Yochanan, however royal and masculine they are, since they could be made edible by putting them over a fire, they're already considered food as far as Tumas Eichlin. Hachinami, however royal and masculine they are, but that's as far as Tumas Eichlin. But as far as an Erev is concerned, it has to be edible in its state. And if it's not edible in its current state, it cannot be used as an Erev. Taisus says, though, we don't always say that since it could become edible, it's considered a fruit. He says it has to be at least a fruit, but something which is not even a fruit and you just can make it edible, that's a different category altogether. Says the Gemara, Vehechi Itma de Rabbi Yochanan, where do we learn this distinction that the Gemara is saying that if it can be made edible, it's different? Ahod Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Shkedim Amorim, bitter almonds, Ketanim, when they're small, they're chayovim and meiser. The doilim, when they're big, they're part of a meiser because they're not edible. When they're small, they're edible. When they're big, they're not edible. Mesukim, when it comes to sweet animals, just the opposite. The doilim chayovim, big ones are chayiv because they're considered, they're completely mature. Small ones are ketanim apturim because they haven't reached their maturity. By bitter almonds, they're always exempt. Large ones because they're not edible. Small ones because they're not completely matured. And there's another version that says they're both chayiv. The bitter ones are chayiv whether they're small or big. That whether they're small or they're big, they're potter. When they're small because they haven't matured, and when they're big because they're not edible. Ask the Gemara, but how can we explain that the mature bitter almonds should be chayiv and meiser. They're not edible. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, however royal mask like they are, since they could be made edible, and anything that could be made edible is already chayiv and meiser. Omar. So we go back that we discussed earlier about the car, about the hearts of palm. Rabbi Yudaim Makar Reik Eitz L'Chadvarov, that the hearts of palm are considered like wood. El Shanika B'Kesem Meiser. You could buy with Kesem Meiser. So as we pointed out, Hana Tanakama, isn't that the exact same that the Tanakama said, that you could buy, you could use Meiser funds to buy Kor, but there's no Tumas Oichon because it's not a food. So what's the machloikis that seems to be existing between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye the Nafkamin is Shaloknu, where you cooked it extensively, V'ktignoi, or you fried it, Ikebenai, that's going to be the machloikis. The Tanakama holds that cooking them would transform them into a food and make them susceptible to Tumas Eichlin. Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, Maskla Rava, Miikla Mandom Shalok V'tignoloi, is there anybody that says that if you cook them or fry them, they're not considered a food? V'tanya, have we learned a brisa? Ha'or, the hide, Vashilya, the amniotic sack of an animal, Eimetam and Tumas Eichlim. Don't have Tumas Eichlim, they're not considered a food. However, or Shasholkai, if you took the hide and you cooked it extensively, or Shilya, you decided you're going to eat that sack, Shechishu Lebetam and Tumas Eichlim. So why is this different? El Amarava, the Nafkamina, the Machlaiks between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, is regarding Hilchas Brachas. Ikavanai Bracha. The Nafkamina will be regarding Hilchas Brachas. Ditmar. Kor, when it comes to the palm hearts, Rabbi Yehudaim with the Brachas Bari Pri Adama, Shmulaima Shakal Nevedvari. Rabbi Yehudaim Bari Pri Adama, Kazuchlahu, it's eaten, and therefore it's appropriate to make a Bari Pri Adama. The Shmulaima Shakal Nevedvari, Kivin Shasoifal Hakshus, and when it's going to get hard, it will not be edible. Therefore, already now, says Rava that that's going to be the machloikus of Rav Yehud and the Tanakama. Rav Tanakama holds that since right now they're edible, if right now they're edible, they're considered a food, and therefore you should make a Bari Pri Adama. According to Rav Yehuda, since it's going to become inedible, you never make a Bari Pri Adama. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Your opinion makes more sense. Because when we speak about radishes, if you leave them in the ground for a long time, they're going to get very hard. And yet, when somebody eats a radish, so we see the fact that it's going to get ultimately hard doesn't make a difference. And the same should be said regarding the kor. Says the Gemara V'lohi. Tznoim, not the inshadat of the pigloy. When somebody plants radishes, he plants them in order to be able to eat the vegetable. And since he plants them in order to eat the vegetable, it makes sense to make a Bari Pri Adama when they're still in the edible stage. However, dikla, when somebody plants a palm tree, like not the inshadat of dikla, you don't plant it for the wood, you plant it for the fruit. And therefore, even when you're eating the fruit, the wood, it's not considered something that's meant to be eaten. And therefore, the bracha should be shahakal. Says the Rav Avgav the Kasa Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Even though Shmuel just complimented Rabbi Yehuda on his thinking, the halacha is Hilchasa Kavasei the Shmuel that the bracha on kor is a shakal near bedvari, unless it was planted for that purpose. So the Gemara now begins to discuss the amount of food, different foods that you use for an erev, because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the next staff, that the amount of food that you need to put down for an Erev is the amount of food used in two meals. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar B'Yudam Rav, Kshus, Haps, V'chazes, Ma'arvim Ben, V'archalayim Bar Pri Adama. Ask the Gemara, Kshus B'Kama, how much haps do you put, should be used for an Erev? Says the Gemara, Amar B'Yichil, K'molei Yad, a handful. Hachanami K'molei Yad. So just like he said, elsewhere it's a handful, here too also. Chazes b'kama. What about the green grain? Amar Rav b'Tuvia b'Yitzchak Amar Rav k'moli uzulisa dichri. The amount that the farm workers would bundle together to make a bundle of this grain. That's the amount that you use for an Erev. Amar Rav Chilki Batuvia Ma'arvim B'Kalya. You could use Kalya, which is the hard stalk of a plant, for an Erev. Ask them about Kalya Selka Daitach. They're very hard. They're just pieces of wood. They're not eaten. How could you suggest that they could be used for an Erev? Ela B'Yakud the Kavara. The green that comes out of the Kalya plant. V'kama, how much? On Rav Yechiel Kamala Yad a handful. Rav Yirmiyah Nofil L'Kuryosai. Rav Yirmiyah went out to the villages to look at his crops. And they asked him, Mal lo arev v'pilpul and lachen. Can we make an arev out of moist beans? L'hav b'yodei, he did not know the answer. Says the Gemara, ki osla b'midrashay, when he came to the yeshiva, Amrle, they told him, Hacha amrab yanai, ma'arvim b'pilpul and lachen. You may use moist beans for an arev. And then they asked, kama, how much? And they answered, amrab yechiel, kamla yad, a handful.